A new dawn, a new horizon, and a new season in ministry. A new dawn, a new horizon, and a new season in ministry. I want to go back to some things that I believe that we need to attend to. I think ministry has become too administrative. Too much business lack. Not business in the spirit, but business. And I think the enemy has seduced ministries into being too busy with business. And the position that the Father have called us in to be is not attended to properly. Therefore, we try to sometimes dab it up, you know, get it back and go in a season of prayer. No, it's not going to work like that. And so this week, I'm going to be dealing with this new dawn, this new horizon, and this new season in ministry where we can permit the Spirit to be in control again. Let me say that again. We can permit the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to be in control again. That's the only way to have and maintain a successful ministry. I think what we have reached out and go to the gospel. Let me go to the gospel. Let's read the gospel. I mean, we got to go back to the gospel. I was going to read something. Let's go back to the gospel. Go to Mark. Let's go back to Mark. Let's go back to the gospel. Yeah, I'm going to walk it. I'm going to work with it because I know what LTMA church is. I need to get where I need to make sure you where you are in this arena of life because there's a lot of other offers being made. And offers, and it's awful, because I feel the Holy Ghost already, boy. We have come to be to a certain extent unbalanced in the spirit. Write that down. Unbalanced in the spirit. Now you never get where you're going if you're unbalanced in the spirit. And so I want to bring a balancing back into ministers that trust me to bring them to the right place that they have the right power. See. We need to be in a place where the Holy Ghost is moving. When the Holy Ghost is moving, you don't have to fake nothing. Everybody know he's moving. Even the point who don't want him to move. And so I know there are some administrative aspect of ministry, but not that much. And we can't let administrators take over. We have to be overseers, anointed. Knowing how to cause the power to manifest. Yes, sir. I wish I had some preachers up here. Well, when you preach, things start happening. You don't just go through the emotion of preaching. But the wind start blowing. When you open your mouth. Because you're properly in tune to the supernatural. What I say? Yeah, properly in tune to the supernatural. There will not be no attraction to ministry until the supernatural is functioning properly. Somebody have to yield. Somebody have to function. Somebody have to change. And somebody have to spend quality time with God. I know in a lot of time you go to school, ministry school, they teach you outline. But you don't need no outline. The minister, you need to come out of your mind. You need to be able to flow with God. So I want to read a few things that the Holy Spirit in this new dawn, this new horizon. I'm from the old school. And I'm from where the Spirit moves. I'm from where you, more Cornelius said. Just three sentences spoken and the power hit. I mean, it don't take long, boy. And I'm here to impart that type of anointing on sons and daughters. That when you open your mouth, they know you're in the house. Because you're not speaking on your own accord, but you were sent by somebody who everybody got to listen to. Preaching is not a sermon. Preaching is not a sermon. It's a life. You can't prepare to preach a sermon the week before you preach it. Because you're really not preaching then. You're just performing. But for real ministering of the word or the gospel, it has to be a life to you. Not going somewhere trying to find a book or try to find an outline, but it's a yielding to the Spirit of God that he can use your dominant gift. Not mine, yours. Now here we don't hear much preaching about this in Mark 16. In the old school, they called it the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Yes, sir. It's great because the greater one gave it. Yes. Now, while I'm talking and while I'm fumbling around, I want you to receive something you never received before. Yes, sir. I've asked the Lord, I've talked to the Lord about this meeting. I practically didn't know who was going to be here. So I'll just form around and take you some places. I was trained by the best. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I almost got out of socket because it's time for me to take ministers and ministries to a level. If I don't take them, you're going to miss it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It takes a certain type of anointing. It takes a certain type of yielding. Yes, it takes a certain, just certain type. Yes, sir. So here in Mark 16... And Jesus gives the great commission here in the 14th verse. He said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 that they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now one of the things Paul said, the great apostle Paul, who called himself the least of apostles, but he was the chief apostle. But he said something here, and I'm trying to recall that scripture. And I'll come back there. He said something here that the Holy Spirit just called up in my heart. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, all of a sudden, I'm just talking now, the Holy Spirit called us up. Because we can't drift back to where we're supposed to be. We got to take it by force. Yeah, too much have been built up between where we're supposed to be. Religiously, socially, church-wise. It has too many walls that have been built for us to drift back. Yes. So we're going to have to take it back by force. Yes, sir. But here in Philippians 3:10 now, Paul call our attention to something that we're going to have to know and have to do, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Well, that's called Galatians 2:20. See, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, really ministry here, the next voice says, the 21st voice says, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, grace-based ministry. Grace-based ministry. Ministry that's flowing in the favor of the power of the resurrection. I said ministry that is flowing in the favor of the power of the resurrection. I said a ministry that is flowing in the favor of the power of the resurrection. There's a divine favor that God has given with every calling. Because he knew you have to be a notch ahead of the congregation. If you're going to feed them, you're going to have something to feed them. They can't feed themselves. So in ministry and ministers, ministry now, we're going to have to know the power of his resurrection. And we're going to have to minister out of that power. And we're going to have to move beyond self. And trying to save face. You'll never minister in power trying to be correct. Correctness disconnects you from God. Because you're trying to work from a platform of academic, a natural platform, and the Holy Ghost can't interrupt you. And whom the Holy Ghost can't interrupt, he can't help. Now I feel a tangible anointing in my hand now. You see, because it's of the Spirit. And this is my job this week, to continue pushing out the anointing. That we can go back to the old school of yielding. And whatever the Holy Spirit put in our mouth, grammatically right, grammatically wrong, if I understand it or don't understand it, just say what he tell you to say. Then you'll begin to enjoy your ministry, because now your ministry is out of your control. Most people are not enjoying ministry because ministry, they have their ministry in their prayer time, in their outline. They got it fixed up just like they want it. No, no. To really preach, you have to stumble. You have to fumble around. I watched my dad many years. Most of the time, he didn't know what he was doing. But he knew he was connected. We'll see that this week. You'll see a man don't know what he's doing. But a man know who he's connected to. And then all of us get blessed. You leave here with more notches on your anointing. Yeah, you leave here at a greater ha-ha. A greater dimension of ministering the word. With power, assurance, confidence. One must know when you walk in the room. The anointing introduced you. A new dawn, a new horizon, and a new season come to your ministry this week. The next time you preach, you're not going to even know yourself. By the time we get through in these 8 sessions, you're going to be so anointed, you're going to soak in anointing. You will never be disappointed again. If you follow pursuit, if you look listen, and catch on. The church look too much to the world.
That's right.
You got the power. But you got to function out of that power. You got to function out of that power. Not letting the world tell you how to do it.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I go back to the gospel. I want to read the gospel. What he told us to do. What we doing.
Yes, sir.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. You with me? What did he say? And do what? What? To every creature, right? What kind of gospel? 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Not a program gospel. Not a copycat gospel. But look in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, what kind of gospel we should be preaching. When the church get back to this gospel, everybody gonna listen. See, when the church is functioning this gospel, there's nothing else to offer. There's nothing the world can offer to supersede, oh my God, to supersede this kind of gospel. It may be able to supersede other gospels, but this gospel in 1 Thessalonians 1:5 can't be exceeded. And this is where we have to tune ourselves in three things. In the prayer.
Yes, sir.
In the word.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it like the Lord give it to me. We must abide in prayer.
Yeah.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
We must abide in the word. John 15:7.
Yeah.
We must abide in the word. Is it that John 15:7 say that? And then 1 John 2:27, we must abide in the anointing.
Yes, sir.
Why? Seducing spirits
yeah.
are on the horizon.
Yeah.
Spirit that make you think you're doing it right and you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unless you are arrested by a gospel, you got it? 1 Thessalonians 1, you see what kind of gospel? Everybody not preaching that gospel.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Wow. Come on, Apostle, man.
Many gospel, many supposed to be preaching the gospel is preaching word only.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Naked word.
Yeah.
Word that shamanale shiko, that won't knock you out your seat. Every now and then, the real gospel should knock you out your seat. Every now and then. If the person is functioning in the anointing and the power of the resurrection is on his preaching, every now and then your seat need to be stirred up. When the real gospel is preached, turbulence must come in the building. Somebody got to put their seatbelt on when the real gospel is being preached. When the gospel is preached according to 1 Thessalonians 1:5, people don't leave with problems. Because the seducing spirit is replaced by a solution spirit. The gospel is the solution to every satanic attack. The gospel is the solution to every limitation. Man should not preach, a woman should not preach, and a person leave the same way. This type of gospel. He said, go, you know, all the world preach the gospel. They preach it everything. This gospel, this 1 Thessalonians 1:5 gospel we're talking about. It's not just you got a whole lot of scriptures and a whole lot of points that go with it. Do they have any punch?
Ah!
You heard a lot of points, right? But I'm talking about punch. Power hit you. Wave your hand at me if you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, I got to tell somebody, I got to have some punch in my preaching. And that don't mean hollering, screaming loud, neither. That ain't about no point. You're just screaming. See, we're not entertainers. But that should be. Well, it'll hit here before I finish. I got about 40 minutes. The glory will hit this place. See, I'm going to preach by precepts and example. You will experience some of the things that will come out of my mouth this week. And that's my job to bring that. We'll talk about the mantle tonight. To bring you things that you can move in the spirit and get back in the right. A new dawn, a new horizon, and a new season. We have to do it because, again, we'll get on 1 John. You're going to see why he's talking about the anointing. He said because they're seducing spirit. But seducing spirit can't function when the anointing functions. So preaching and the gospel is not just saying words. It should be carrying heavenly forces. That changed the very atmosphere. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you need a punch in your preaching. You need a drive. You need to have divine forces backing your voice up.
Yes,
people need not come to not only hear you, but they need to hear God speaking while you speak it.
Yes, sir.
Come on, apostle.
People get tired going to church hearing them little sermonettes. Like Romeo and Juliet, you know, a little play or something. No, this is life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the apostle here talking to the church at Thessalonians, he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Ooh, my goodness. But also. In power. And in the Holy Ghost. Word, power, and the Holy Ghost. Say it. Word, power, and the Holy Ghost. Say it. Word, power, and the Holy Ghost. Say it one more time. Word, power, and the Holy Ghost. Think about it, preachers. You see, when the outline don't come through, it's God trying to come through. But we panic and do something anyway. It's God said, today let me run it. But we're so used to our outline that we write something anyway. We find us. You always can find a scripture. Search the scripture. Many of you think I have life, but they testify me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. So we write something down anyway. Because we want to make sure we look proper. See, and that's not what it's about. It's about that grace is upon you. Everybody going to know that grace is upon you. And I don't care how you talk. They know that God, grace is upon you. Now, I feel the Holy Ghost ushering in here right now. See, See, I love this type of preaching, boy. I mean, I'm preaching with the Holy Ghost here now. Yeah, I'm trusting him, you see.
Yes, sir.
I go anywhere he tell me go.
Yes, sir.
Because and all of a sudden, it'll hit so powerful that everybody gets up. Everybody gets up. And I'm saying going in the presence of the Lord and leave with nothing.
Right.
Amen. So notice here. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, that means anointed, and then and in much assurance. You see, we need to come back to this. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. See, we're not regular men. We're not regular women. We represent somebody.
Yes.
who's sending something through us to you that you couldn't get no other way. Are you listening to me? Say amen. Say something.
Amen.
Don't just sit there and don't do nothing. Say hallelujah or something. The boy just told you, pay attention. Going back to the gospel now. Because I don't want to fail here this morning in what he told me to do. I just want to understand what type of gospel he's talking about there in verse 15. We got that? Then he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Yes, sir. They shall speak with new tongue. Make a note there, because I'm coming back there. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Amen.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they might recover. And then he said in the 19th, I always liked that when as a Baptist boy preacher some 40 years ago, I always liked that voice. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. How you know the Lord working with you? You get results. Real results. The Lord working with them. And confirming the word, not them. Confirming the word with sign following. Now here's a dilemma that we have gotten into, and the Lord gonna work with us. Every now and then I get in a little trouble with the Lord because I soften up, you know, and try to be like, you know, be cautious with people, you know. Every now and then I get in trouble. I get in my prayer room. What you doing?
Yeah.
Just be like I told you be.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so important. You see, I can't anoint you in causiness. Being cozy. I anoint you by following my instruction. Whoever don't like it, you just keep doing what I told you to do.
Right.
How many got in trouble about it one time or another trying to cozy up to somebody? How many of you shut your mouth when you know you're supposed to be saying something? Get around your ugly cousin. And they don't want to talk about Jesus, so you just compromise with them. Now, we have to come back to an apostolic setting in which the church knows very little about. About apostolic government, apostolic anointing, passing through pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists, because they're all one.
Yeah, right.
Trained in the apostolic, whole churches trained in the apostolic doctrine and the apostolic government and the apostolic anointing and the apostolic wisdom, apostolic mysteries and apostolic vision.
Yes,
and you go back to the book of Acts,
yes,
and the church began to function in her mandate anointing, as the book of Acts show forth suddenly, immediately, straightway, some things happened because they knew how to contact God and didn't have to pray all day long. But what have happened, now this, I got to get this over this week. What have happened, the power is not there no more. Not like it should be, you know what I'm saying? And we got some power, but it's not there like it should be. I remember my old bald head pastor, he ain't know half what I know in the book, but he get to scratching that bald head and just talking about one scripture, and the power hit the place, man, and looked like blood and water, everything started running. You grab your head, because that's the real power. We've modernized the gospel and minimized it at the same time. But here, this week, we're coming back to the place where we're going to magnify the gospel. Huh? And so you can't get around Acts. Go to Acts chapter 6 now, because that administrative switchover was trying to take place, but the apostles didn't let it happen. We so busy going to hospitals. We preachers, pastors, and ripping and running. Delegate somebody to go. And you go when the thing is when the thing is so large, they call you and say, I think you need to come. Then Acts 6:4 now. We'll give ourselves what? To what? Continue to what? Continue to prayer, right? Well, I won't stop at prayer. See, we'll go to the word too fast. We'll give ourselves what? Continue to what? Prayer. That's communication with God. That's getting orders. That's getting direction. That's God touching us, preparing us for where he's sending us.
Yes, sir.
See, we'll give ourselves. Now this came about when the church wanted to change. And they wanted the people who were supposed to be preaching the gospel to serve table.
Yeah.
And the early church didn't. That's why the early church still has such power. Said, no, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
You look you out among you and find you some people to do this.
Yes,
and they need to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer.
Yes,
uh-huh. And the minister of the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, apostle. Come on, help us.
What happened in the seventh verse? Why? Hold it. Why? Because of verse 4. They give themselves to prayer. See, the word was being pushed by an anointing.
All right. Yes, sir.
The word life came out of it.
Help us.
And the people, they served the table, but these preachers, when they stood up, we're going to see it in a few minutes. See? They couldn't resist the power. 10th verse.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't resist it. They couldn't resist the power by what she spake. They couldn't, and the wisdom. They couldn't resist it. Just like you can't resist me this morning. See? You give yourself, continue to say, give yourself, we give ourselves continue to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the word of God increased, number of disciples multiplied greatly. A great company of priests obedient to the faith. Then the 10th verse said they wasn't able to resist the spirit by what he spoke. When you stand to speak, people shouldn't be able to resist what you say. It should be so powerful. If they just don't want it, that's tough. But it's coming through anyway. Somebody about to get blessed up in here. When the anointing is moving, somebody going to get blessed. When the gospel is preached with power, somebody get blessed. God is a blesser. Notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:18. Notice what he says there. He was such a powerful apostle that he didn't really have to consult with the other apostles. They had to consult with him. Yeah, Paul went off by himself. Somebody read the Bible, and God ministered to him, and they couldn't stop him. I missed a point there. I miss. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Did I go over that? You sure? I called it out, but did we go there? No, I need to go there. The Holy Ghost is telling me I need to go there. Because what I'm talking about is grace space. Not this little weak grace they're preaching today without faith. And telling you can sin and you can do that and God just loves you. Just come on back to the house. No, I found out the resurrection ain't not going to just be even in the resurrection, it's not going to just be the righteous who are going to go with Christ and rise. Everybody getting up.
Yes, right.
Some getting up to receive the eternal life. Other one getting up to be judged.
Right.
Don't give me this little soft pussyfoot grace.
Yeah.
That grace ain't soft and pussyfoot. Grace is too expensive for what you're trying to make it to be. God wants his people holy. He wants his people righteous. He wants them repenting when they know they've made a mistake. Ask him to forgive. Search me, oh God, know my heart. Try me and know my... He wants his people right. He don't want his people having no excuse for sin. That body will go crazy. That body will go crazy. That body will go crazy if you don't know that there's a judgment.
That's right. That's right.
It keep me straight. I need something. You need something to keep you straight.
Come on, Apostle.
Absolutely. Paul preached from a grace. But Paul recognized that grace don't work without faith. And recognized you can have faith if you're unclean. You got to repent for your faith can work.
Yes, sir.
So Paul said, "But the grace, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
His grace, now you know, demonstration of the Spirit. Now, his grace that was bestowed on me, not in vain. Now, I'm about to make an impartation. You've never seen this before.
Yeah.
I saw it in the flash of the Spirit just now. I need you to get up and trump around and turn around. That grace bestowed upon you. See, you're going to come back alive in you for what God called you. Hey! What God called you to do. See, I just imparted that to you. I saw in the spirit. He said, have them stomp. Come on, let's do it one. And turn around. An impartation of that same grace. We get annihilate this shopping grace they brought into the church. And we get back in that same grace. What was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. You see that laboring? See, grace don't call for no labor. You labor with it. You got to labor in this thing. Yeah. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest. But take my yoke. Labor with me. Yet and yet not I. That's that same yet not I in Galatians 2:20. But the grace of God which was with me. Now, just an impartation now. All that old funny grace and funny grace has been taken away from you. Get rid of them doggone books and tapes of people who are in error. And now, Lord, the Lord in this house this morning has replenished you back into your real grace, which is his favor. Now, people who go to teaching that stuff wrong, they forfeit in the favor of God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I want my favor. How many of y'all want your favor?
Yes,
yeah, I labor, but I want my favor too.
Yes,
amen. All right, let me see that. I'm going to talk a little more to you here.
Wow.
Show you a few more things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Paul said then, 1 Corinthians 14:18, you thought I forgot? No, I haven't forgot because it's so important. The Holy Ghost just called it back to my attention. 14, let me see what here. Glory to God. This scripture cannot be looked over because it's so important that Paul was giving us an insight. 14:18. Notice what he says there. I thank my God. He's talking to the whole church.
Yeah.
I speak in tongue more than y'all.
Yeah.
I thank my God. Mm-hmm. Paul must have been the tongue talker, wasn't he? I speak in tongue more than y'all. Now, he was trying to let everything be done decent in order. The church was out of order. He was bringing them back to order. You know, that's divers kind of tongue.
Yeah.
That's praying in the spirit of the tongue also.
Yes,
I mean, if you're going to speak in divers kind of tongue, somebody need to be there to interpret. Yes, but praying in the spirit is you and God. And sometimes you get an interpretation, direction. I get divine direction by praying in tongues. God interpreted, the Holy Ghost interpreted, and give me a clear picture on what I need to see.
Yes, sir.
If that never happened to you, you need to keep praying.
But here,
my brothers and sisters, listen. Here, a new dawn, a new horizon,
yes,
and a new season.
Yes.
We cannot let the administrative part of the church take the place of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
A lot of your finances locked up right there. Financial strategies that we're trying to produce if we just preach the gospel, the gospel will open the door for the finances.
Yes, sir.
You heard what I said?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's powerful, man.
Yes,
powerful. And I'm speaking from experience.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't have no administrative attributes. I just point you, we're going that way. And I always reckon about asking why we're going that way. Just get on the doggone bus. That's the way we're going. See, because the Spirit can lead better than man. And so a lot of administrative stuff we're doing to try to make it work. I know a man now lost his church, probably based on what I told him not to do. Two of them. Don't get involved with that worldly stuff trying to make some money. Yield to the Spirit. Do what God say. God is the provider of provision as well as power.
Yes, sir.
If he told you to do it, he'll pay for it.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's right.
But don't get ahead of him.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
I've had financial ease throughout my ministry. Never struggled financially. My wife, there, she'll tell you.
Yes, sir.
We never had no financial struggles. Because I always am to do what God told me to do. And I didn't live ahead of my pace.
Yes, sir.
You get to living ahead of your pace, you'll never catch up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on,
you're always trying to keep up.
Yeah.
How you going to catch up? You can't keep up.
Yeah.
But if you get in line with God, and he'll tell you your timing for your levels.
Yes,
God give you your timing for your levels.
Yeah.
Don't jump to another level before God tell you. Then you're going to have to spend all your time praying for a disobedient level. Some of y'all need to go in reverse. And go back to the last place the Lord talked to you. And you won't be in such a financial struggle trying to keep up, with the Jackson. They always say with the Jones, you know. Now, just a few more minutes this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know the Lord keep calling this scripture. I better go there. Well, let me look at this one, Lord, if I can. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. You see that, right?
Yes.
But unto who?
God.
Now notice what the next part says. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Very important. Mysteries in the spirit is very important for a person who leading. This church, my members here, they don't know what way I'm going. They don't know what I'm going to do. Because God have mercy sometimes, I don't know what I'm going to do. But that's following the spirit. You see, if men is led by the spirit, they're the sons of God. Now, the church lost this. Go to Acts. I remember my dad preaching this. I asked my wife when it was. It was 1982. Leroy was 7. Shauna was 5. I was trying to get out of the normal pattern. I've had some good training. Good people love me. But I knew that God had more for me to do. And so I was trying to find different aspect of ministry. So we go out to John Osteen Church. I had never been there before. We got there late. People stand up in line. So we didn't get two perfect seats. We had seat lack over here. And all these seats was full. We didn't know none of the speaker. All I heard a little bit about John Osteen. One man preached, he's going home to be the Lord, T.L. Osborne. He just preached all over my head. I didn't know what he was saying. And I found out later he was a good preacher, you know. I found out later he was a good preacher. But I couldn't hear what he was saying. And then you had Norva Hayes was there. And Norva snapped your head off. He's still alive. He's 97 years old today. He's a man of faith. I mean, if you got Noah preaching for you, you might go look for him in the church or he in the pool. Brother Hagin said, don't let he ain't gonna, Norv ain't gonna never be on time. He just don't worry himself.
Yeah.
He 97 years old, he must have got some good things doing all right.
Yes,
we jumping, running, trying to be there for 8 o'clock. But anyway, this man came to the pulpit. I won't say that to address this verse in my closing. I'd never seen this man before. My wife had never seen him before. I saw the other speakers. I didn't say too much. But I knew it was a mandate for me to meet this man in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
And so Brother Hagin came up there, and I said to the Lord, I didn't say nothing to my wife. I said to the Lord, I'd like to see what this man doing. Now, you know, because it's now I don't know him. I got a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom at the same time. I don't know him. I got a present day fact with no way for me to know it, and a future thing that I wasn't no way for me to know it. And so I asked the Lord. So the Lord did it. I mean, he came and stood right over there, and Carol and I right over there, about 3 or 4 rows back, and just preached right from that corner. And then I missed the Lord because I almost was talking about somebody else and my spiritual father. But I don't have no spiritual father now. My spiritual father going home to be the Lord. Did Elisha get another spiritual father?
No, sir. No, sir. No.
And the Lord had to straighten me out on that. So people are teachers, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes you get thrown away with good teaching, you know.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Right. And so I'm sitting there, and I've asked the Lord for this. I didn't really know what I'd asked the Lord for.
Yeah.
I felt this anointed, man. I felt this anointed. But I knew I had a kindred to it. You know, then all of a sudden, the Lord said, he can stop right there and you can go take off.
Wow.
And hold the meeting going.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Then he said, now, but this is my servant for almost 50 years. 50, wasn't it? 50 years. We found out he was going into his 50th year.
Yes, sir.
How was I to know that? I'm a plumb stranger.
Yes,
I don't know.
Sir.
And then I missed God for many years.
Yeah.
I said it, but I didn't do it. Because the Lord said to me, I've given you the self-same anointing.
Yes.
But I thought, and been carried around, that he gave me Kenneth Hagin anointing.
Yeah.
Finally, after many years, the Lord said, what did I say to you in that meeting? I said, well, you say you give me the self-same anointing. Well, that anointing came from me.
Yeah.
I use him to train you.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle.
It's a big difference, isn't it?
Yes,
and that's how the enemy tried to throw me. In different zigzag ways, not to concentrate on this type of anointing in what you're ministering in this morning.
Yes,
this type of anointing that you don't only see, you can feel it.
Yes,
you can tell something tapped in the room because
of
the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so I said that to say this, to read this verse to you, and these verses, and we'll close. To read these verses here in Acts 4. A prayer for boldness. Boldness. Now you got this, these verses. You got also, let's go back to Ephesians. We'll come back here. Let's go back to, that's Ephesians. We're in Acts. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6. I think this is one of the regular scripture that I was taught about prayer upon. Then Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 18. Let's read. You've been sitting there a while. Let's read that 18 verse. Keep reading. That I may what? To make known what? And then read verse 20. I think we need to read that again. Read from verse 18, and I want you to listen while you read. Go ahead. With all prayer. How? How? In the spirit, all right? And doing what? Now, what did the Bible say about watch and pray? What did the Bible say about watch and pray? What did the Bible say about watch and pray? Huh? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. All of us got that.
Yes, sir.
We got willing spirit and weak flesh. So we have to make sure the spirit take over the flesh. When you're praying in the spirit, it's a key that opens the door to the supernatural. Where your spirit begin to reign and rule and call the shot. Where you begin to see in another dimension, flow in another power, speak in another language, hear God more clearly. And every time you shout, wall fall. When a slingshot become a machine gun. God turned David's slingshot into a machine gun. Goliath, I don't know what hit him. When a jawbone of an ass become a sword. And a rod run a whole nation. Oh, hallelujah. I feel my help coming. Glory to God. Nothing like preaching a good gospel. Gospel with power. When God can take nothing and make it everything. Somebody say, I'm more strong when I'm weak. Because I can yield better to the power of God. My God, we got to preach with power. We can't just teach in these pulpits. We have to preach the gospel. We have to preach it forcefully. We have to preach it just like we just left heaven. We have to preach it like we know what we're talking about. We got to preach it with divine backup. We got to preach it to the glory fall. That God manifests himself in the midst of his people. We got to preach it till we hear angels wing flapping. Knowing that the glory of God have come in the house. Somebody shout glory. We got to preach it till somebody start crying. Somebody start running. Somebody say, I've been set free because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get happy on a point. You can't get blessed on just teaching the gospel. But somebody got to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody got to preach that the grave couldn't hold it. Somebody got to preach. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll rise it up again. Somebody got to preach that the blood is still flowing. And the blood is the most powerful thing that the church ever heard about. Somebody said, he shed his blood for me. And he shed his blood for you. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for me. And he died for you. Somebody got to preach. He was wounded for my transgression. Bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace is upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed. Somebody got to preach. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God on the salvation to everyone that believes. Somebody got to preach. You just can't tell the story. Somebody got to shout every now and then how I got over. Somebody got to shout, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Somebody got to shout, he didn't only come to give me eternal life, but I'm living in the abundant life of God. His hand is upon me. Somebody got to go in the valley of dry bones and prophesy to men and women who think they're not going to make it. Brethren, I've lived so bad. I've done so many dirty things. But I got a gospel that can clean you up. I got a gospel that can forgive you for your sin. I got a gospel I'm preaching that'll wash all your sins away. There's a man called Jesus who can take care of everything you've done. He died. I said he died. He died. He died for me. Anybody else that he died for? Sometime he make you shout. Sometime he make you run. Sometime he make you dance. Because I know he lives on the inside of me. I heard John say, "You who come over the world, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." I heard Jesus said, "Me and my Father are one." Then I heard him say, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And I heard him say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I said, you know, see, we got to preach it sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Preach. I wasn't showing off. I'm preaching.
Yeah, preaching.
You can't just teach the gospel.
Yes, preach.
Every now and then, somebody got to stir somebody up. Turn around 3 times. Get yourself stirred up. Tell that flesh is not in control. Flesh, you're not in control. That's why I'm not going to accept this sickness and disease. You're not in control. My spirit is in control. Quickening me. Quickening my mortal body. Making it alive. Driving out sickness and disease. Driving out lack and limitation. I'm blessed. And I want somebody to know it. I want to tell somebody I'm blessed. I'm blessed because of the goodness of God. I want somebody to know God been good to me. I want somebody to know he brought me a mighty long way. I want to, every now and then I got to shout because of the goodness of God. I can't hold it to myself. I can't hold it to myself. I want to share it with somebody else how good the Lord been to me. There's a boldness that I want to talk about in the morning. There's a boldness we must come back to. You remember they said they looked like they unlearned men, but they had a certain boldness with them. Huh? We need to come back to that boldness. Yeah, we need to come back. We can't see 6 politicians and 2 preachers in the room. Preacher's in charge.
Yes, sir.
See, the government is on his shoulder. If you call by him, he plays that government on your shoulder because he's there to help you. So we can't be compromising our position, because they'll call you a reverend in a minute. How you doing, reverend? There's going to be more than some reverend here. I'm going to say something. And then all of a sudden, I mess around and lift my hand. This thing over. So what you doing, Reverend? I'm talking to somebody. I'm praying to somebody. See, this one of our most powerful positions. We lift our hand. See, we lift our hand. We're subpoenaing heaven to our rescue. We're inviting God to make it be what it's supposed to be. No, we're not just lifting our hand. We're lifting our hearts. We're lifting our soul to him. He's my all in all. He's your all in all. When I lift my hand, something happened. Oh, yeah. Every time you see me lift my hand, something about to happen. I don't know about you. I don't know about you when you lift your hand. But I see, when I lift my hand, something happened. Because I know what I'm doing. I don't only lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. I lift my hand. Oh, he's wonderful. I almost sung something, boy. Hallelujah. I mean, I get wild, man. Oh, he's so wonderful. I love you, heard my name. Say he's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
I dare you say he's wonderful 3 times.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful.
Been so good to me.
Yes,
won't you go ahead and hug him now? Won't you go ahead and love back on him? Let him love you back. Now talk to him. Say, God, you've been so good to me. I want to squeeze you tight. I want to say thank you, sir. And while we're hugging, heal my body. And while we're hugging, give my eyesight back. While I'm hugging, you promised to answer me. You told me to love you with all my heart, all my soul. Come on, hug him. Hold God in your arms, God. Thank you. I should be gone, but I'm still here. Thank you. I made some mistakes, but I'm still here. I love you so much. I'm admonished by the word to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I'm reminded that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, oh, come on, Junior, been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So I just want to let you know I love you. I want to return to my first love. I want to follow your instruction in my ministry. I want to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm not letting nobody vote on what I do. I'm going out there and tell them what you told me to do. I'm going to have a thus saith the Lord church. I'm going to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who want to hear it, hear it. Who don't want to hear it, get up the road. But I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I know I'll never have no needs. I'll never have no wants that you will not supply. My lack and limitation leave me today. I got my arm around you. And the word says you'll supply all my needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm hugging you about my ministry now. You call me to preach this gospel. I might have gone a little far ahead of you. Y'all help me here. I might have gone a little far ahead of you. But I'm willing to come back to the place where you want me to be. I shouldn't struggle in ministry. I shouldn't be in lack. I shouldn't be looking for a place. No, you told me go, you provide the place. In Jesus' name. All right, Junior, you got it.